Real show, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. I'm your co-host Scott Patton, along with Martin Patella. And last time we were talking about the obesity epidemic running rampant all over the world, and we talked a little bit about a substance called leptin. And we told you last time that we would get into it in more detail. So, Martin, before we get off onto another rant about the medical system or people giving out bad information, let's just talk about this thing called leptin and what is it, what does it do, and how does it work, and where can we get it if we think it's going to help us combat obesity?
Ha! Excellent questions. You know, so first of all, your body naturally produces it. Leptin is a signaling hormone. It's a substance released by every fat cell.
Okay.
It's sort of like, you know, when you've prepared a cup of coffee and set it on top of your kitchen counter.
I don't actually drink coffee, but I can imagine that. Go ahead.
Okay, so if you were, yeah, good for you. There would be this sort of stuff coming off of the coffee into the air, and you would actually be able to smell the coffee.
Yeah.
And you would be able to actually find it in the room. Number one, it would be telling you there's coffee here somewhere, and you'd be able to find it by going wherever it smells better.
Okay.
Or stronger, right?
That's called the sense of smell, right?
Yeah, but it's I'm talking about the signaling. There are these few molecules of this, of whatever the coffee aroma is wafting up from the coffee cup. It's going into the room, and your signaling system is able to pick it up.
Yep, okay.
So that's the normal process of fatty cells in the body releasing this aroma, which is called leptin, and this leptin is wafting throughout the entire body, and your brain is picking it up and saying, uh-huh, there's coffee here somewhere. Or in case of leptin, there are fatty cells here. So when the smell of the fatty cells becomes strong enough, the body would say, we're fat enough, we don't need to pack on more fat. We're good. Our reserves are fine.
Okay.
However, and anyway, so scientists have discovered this back in 94, and they started doing research on it. So they thought, well, okay, leptin does the signaling. So let's give leptin, because we can easily make it, to fat people, and they'll get skinnier.
Right, right, because we know where it is. We see it.
Yeah. Completely wrong.
No.
Didn't work at all.
What?
No, because fat people already have plenty of leptin in their system. The leptin level is high.
Okay.
But what's not working is the brain is not smelling it.
Not smelling it. It should be smelling it.
Right. So this would be sort of like having that cup of coffee on the counter in a body shop where you're painting.
You know, there's an old wrestler who used to say, can you smell what the Rock is cooking? And what you're telling me is that the answer is no.
Right.
We can't smell what you're cooking, Rock, and so we're putting on fat.
Right. So, the signaling system is broken. And adding more of this signaling doesn't solve anything, because it's the, not the signal, but the receptor that's got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to fix the receptor is to clear the room. Meaning, you need to actually reset the whole thing.
It's kind of like what happens to my computer.
You have a memory leak somewhere?
Yeah, that's right. It's like, it crashes, and I have to reboot it.
Yeah. Yeah, the only way to get it back up is not to start more programs.
Right.
Yeah, you need to reset it.
We need to reset it. So we need to reboot, get, you know, turn it off, basically. And then we go, okay, here we go. So what you're saying...
To give you a better metaphor that's more appropriate would be, if you enter a room that's been, non-ventilated for some time, and somebody's been cooking something strong in there, you enter that room or that house, and it's going to stink to you. Like, if somebody was cooking fish, you come into the house, and it's like fish smell all over, right?
Right. Or but if in the case of my teenage son, sometimes I go into the rec room where he's been for a while and turn around and leave immediately because my receptors are going, oh my God, I can't believe he did that in here.
Yeah.
Open the window.
However, if you stay in that room for 5 minutes, you will no longer be smelling it.
Yeah.
Because your brain will adjust to it. It will adjust to the new normal, and there's no, it turns itself off.
Yeah, it turns itself off. So what you're saying is that it's like being in a stinky room too long. You just can't tell that it's stinky anymore. So in terms of what the leptin does is it just can't tell that you've got too much fat and you need to release it.
Right. So you need to actually reset the brain signaling system.
Mm-hmm. So what happens when that happens?
Well, then all of a sudden your brain realizes, oh my gosh, we're fat. We can lose some weight because, there always is some reasonable balance between having some fat stores versus being too fat because you can't run away from that whatever thing would chase you.
So does the body just sort of naturally just drop off the fat, or do you end up eating less? Or
yes, yeah, you are naturally not feel hungry. When the signaling works, you just feel full sooner. You don't have the demand for food. You just naturally don't eat.
So this would be something that would prevent maybe 8 o'clock in the evening cravings, where you're running around looking for something to stick in your mouth.
I believe so.
Okay.
So there are these supplements that we would like to tell people about, which is the Max WLX, which actually helps the body with resetting all of this, and it's made with some really decent ingredients. Actually, can you look up the label? You know, the supplement facts, all of
sure,
that.
Sure. It's it says it's take serving size 2 capsules, and so you got a month's supply. And the main ingredient is leptin, which is a proprietary blend of vicious polysaccharides. I guess polysaccharides, they get in there and they just beat up those fat cells, right?
Oh, you're mispronouncing it. They're viscous.
Viscous polysaccharides. So what's that?
Well, viscosity, that's the aspect of fluids that, oil is more viscous than water.
Yeah, well, viscosity, I mean, castor oil, motor oil, they talk about that all the time, about how the engine just heats up, and the oil doesn't break down, and so it keeps running good. So that's the image
right.
I have.
And when oil is heated, it loses its viscosity, and so that loses its lubricating qualities.
Okay, so this has polysaccharides that don't do that.
They're viscous. These polysaccharides are some complex sugars that are high viscosity sugars.
And the other thing in it is, if you thought I did a bad job with the vicious polysaccharides, I don't even know how to begin to talk about these fatty acids. They're like, I was going to say chelated fatty acids, but it's obviously not chelated.
No, they're acetylated.
Is that sensational?
Cetyl. No, it's like, it's a type of... you have methyl, ethyl.
Oh. Okay.
What is it? What's the next one? Propyl. I don't know. Cetyl is one of the alcohol type of or sugar type of carbohydrates. I forget now which one. But anyway, when fatty acid is acetylated, it becomes impervious to oxidation, meaning it becomes resistant to rancidity. So in our last podcast, you were talking about how the deep fried French fry would be a great idea
for getting the fat. Well, as we talked about, you wanted to have fat as burning you want to burn fat for energy, not carbohydrates for energy. And so I said, great,
right.
French fries would be awesome, right? But of course,
yes.
That fat.
So anyway.
Is fried.
Is oxidated. It's rancid.
Right.
So whereas this acetylated fatty acid will not oxidate,
So non-rancid fatty acids. Cool.
Right.
So in other words,
so they have been. There's a whole bunch of research about that. If you want to look it up, they are excellent at preventing, or not preventing, well, reversing the pain of arthritis, for instance. Or they're great at improving skin, because of course, you know, damage on your skin is mostly inflammation. So when you put these acetylated
fatty acids
on your skin, they will help reverse a whole bunch of effects of aging.
So the oils are really what are a big component of fighting inflammation. Is that
That's true? Right.
Okay. So non-rancid
your body
oil, right?
Yes, your body needs fatty acids, and it needs fatty acids that are wholesome, healthy, non-rancid, non-oxidized.
Which, and last time we talked about like hemp oil or flax oil or the one that came from the selba seeds.
Yeah, yes.
I forget the name of it right
but
now.
Those oils are really fragile. Like if you were to cook with those oils, if you heat that oil, it rancidizes really quickly. In fact, you shouldn't cook with any oils other than butter and coconut. Those are probably the only two that can handle that.
Right, right.
And maybe sesame oil can stand some heating, but
so the Max WLX, they did a double-blind placebo-controlled study at the University of Connecticut, and it was amazing because the Max WLX group lost 90% more weight than the diet and exercise group, and they lost 62% more around their waist than the control group. So,
And here's the interesting thing that happened: it didn't happen in the first month. The first month, everything was about equal. But at about 6 weeks mark, all of a sudden, the brain cleared. All of a sudden, the leptin signaling method or message got through. Finally, after, you know, about 6 weeks on the supplement, it's as if somebody walked into the hallway and flipped the light switch, I should say.
Right, right.
And all of a sudden, the fat started coming off. And you can find the graph on the page there. It's shown how well it worked. Yeah. And when I say on the page, that's on the page on the Max International website.
Right, right.
Yeah, we were going to tell people that, you know, this product, or I should say, this company, Max International, is a network marketing company. Personally, I'm really not good at network marketing. That's just not my thing. But sometimes I just have to get into at least supporting it, if not promoting it, because you can't get this stuff anywhere else. And they have worldwide exclusive marketing rights to this.
So you can get it from the Life Enthusiast Co-op website if you want, or you can become a preferred customer and get it from the Max International site at
a substantial saving,
right.
And if you're feeling pinched by this economy and need to find something worth talking about to your, just about everybody you meet, because 60% of Americans are overweight and many of them are not feeling good about it, you can actually get them on Max WLX. They'll be very grateful. And in the process, you might create a business.
Yeah. So we had mentioned that University of Connecticut study, and 21.5 pounds of body fat was lost
in 8 weeks.
In 8 weeks, almost 4 inches off their waist, three and a little bit more than a quarter inches off their hips, and 1 inch off each thigh. So that's pretty
significant.
Impressive. Yeah, pretty impressive. And of course, you want to make sure you eat right, and you want to be active and doing all those things. But it's interesting too that this is all about, as we've been saying, it's a switch that needs to be turned off. And because of whatever reason, whether it's our lifestyle or what we eat or whatever, it's kind of like at night leaving all your lights on instead of when you go into bed, turn them off, right?
Yeah. Well, there actually is a really interesting what's the word? Offer. One of the ways you can purchase this is a weight loss kit, which includes a CD and a book by Ron Rosedale. Rosedale is a doctor. We've actually had Ron Rosedale's articles on our website since the beginning. He's been researching mainly insulin and diabetics, because diabetics are invariably fat, and fat people invariably are at least pre-diabetic, if not diabetic. So it's all related. Anyway, Rosedale wrote this book that explains what a person needs to do to reset the brain and become skinny. And essentially he explains that you need to give up carbohydrates. You need to eat raw veggies and meats until your body is completely reset. Simple and effective.
Yeah. Oh, very cool.
Now, of course, there still is the issue of calories, right? You need to burn off calories. You need to move. Your body was designed to be moving. We are not supposed to be sedentary. We're not supposed to be couch potatoes. And we are supposed to sweat. So, of course, if you're living in Finland, you sweat by the means of a sauna, or sauna, as it's pronounced here.
Yeah.
But if you're a regular guy, you're just going to go out there, get yourself an axe, and chop down a few trees, right?
That's right.
Or get yourself a pitchfork and clean out the stall.
Well, it's not normal anymore. It used to be.
Yes. Well, I guess at least we could go for a brisk walk. You know, 30 to 40 minutes of committed walking will sweat you up.
And we're talking about going at a good pace. We're not talking about meandering around.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you should be able to talk, but you shouldn't be really into it, because you should be like having to catch your breath between the, you know, like you should really be having to work as opposed to just saunter.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what more can we say to people?
Well, I think that's a...
You need...
Go ahead.
Yeah, besides all of this, you need some decent nutrition. So decent nutrition, that's superfoods, algae, grasses like wheatgrass, barley grass, kamut, alfalfa. You would find all of this in the Exula superfoods. You need good fats. You need good grains if you're going to stick with some grains. But first and foremost, you need to get with the program and find some ways to eat vegetables and proteins. You can actually do it as a vegetarian, if you can believe it. The hemp protein is quite an adequate source of high concentration protein. So you don't have to become a carnivore to lose weight.
Right.
If you have religious or spiritual reasons to want to not eat something that had to die for you to eat it.
Make the ultimate sacrifice for your health?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw this commercial on television that that fellow was talking that he has become a... not vegetarian, it was a, what's this, gee, my memory has just failed me.
I think carnivorian, Aryan?
Well, it was meatagenarian or something like that. You know, like it was a bastard word.
Right, sort of. Right.
Anyway, so it was this young woman with a salad bowl and young man with a nasty hamburger that had two patties, two slices of cheese, and four strips of bacon, right?
Yeah.
And the company's advertising that. And he's a committed... Yeah, he says, it's a commitment I made, he said. Anyway, it made me laugh.
It was quite funny.
Yeah, it's quite comical that, you know, you see most of the advertisements for food on television are fast food chains, and they're advertising these really amazing meals. Like I saw, you know, the high fat content Philly steak in a bun, the hamburger in a bun, and so on, you know, like you name it, the taco. It's all meat, fat, and carbs.
Right, right.
I don't see anybody advertising healthy salad, you know, like it just doesn't seem to appeal.
No.
Oh, and the other thing that I'm just recalling, I saw an advertisement for, I think it was called Zantac or something like that. I think it's the name for it. Anyway, it's a drug that suppresses the heartburn.
Hmm.
And there was this guy bringing in a pizza, and on top of that pizza box was a bottle with this product, this drug.
Hmm.
And I'm thinking, this is really wrong. And yet, you know, who would willingly just go for a pig out with drugs?
Yeah.
Like there should be a clear connection that, oh yeah, if I'm going to eat like that, I'm going to need that drug. But why should I do that? And yet, that's exactly what they advertise. They advertise the drug telling you, you can go back to eating like this with our drug.
Yeah. And, of course, one of the reasons that we're concerned about obesity is the impact it has on our quality of life, right? With, you know, all the different diseases that occur and the problems people have because of it. But I just wanted to, because today happens to be Earth Day, talk about the impact that obesity has on the planet. And there was an article, I just want to read a little bit of it, which basically says obesity is killing the planet, according to UK researchers. And British scientists say that the global obesity epidemic needs to be reversed, not only to save lives, but to save the environment. Researchers from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine say overweight people cause excess greenhouse gas emissions because they eat more than thin people and are more likely to travel by car. So these researchers compared lean and obese populations, and I wish it was a joke, right? Compared lean and obese populations in a study published in the International Journal of Epidemiology. A very high prestigious journal, I'm sure.
Right.
They calculate that a fatter population needs 19% more food energy for its energy requirements. The production of that extra food requires machinery that emits greenhouse gases as well as transport systems that emit pollution. What's more, the researchers say a heavier population is more dependent upon greenhouse gas emitting cars to help move around its people who have grown too obese to walk. When it comes to food consumption, moving about in a heavy body is like driving around in a gas guzzler, the researchers wrote in the study. They estimate that each fat person is responsible for about 1 ton of carbon dioxide emissions a year, or more than the average person. In other words, more than the average thin person. That adds to an extra 1 billion tons of CO2 a year in a population of 1 billion overweight people. Scientists say that the global obesity epidemic needs to be reversed to save the environment. We need to be doing a lot more to reverse the global trend towards fatness and recognize it as a key factor in the battle to reduce carbon emissions and slow climate change, they write. And then there's a picture of this guy in a teeny, 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 on a teeny, 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 weeny motorcycle, and he's probably 400 pounds. Like it's really quite funny.
Pretty funny. Okay. Well, this is good. This sounds like some kind of a California liberal political statement, yet it's coming from UK.
Yeah, and in a Canadian news source.
Yeah, you know, it's a socialist communist conspiracy, because they just want Americans to have less fun.
That's right.
The righteous conservative Americans. But you know what's interesting? I think I can top this, you know. Instead of fighting obesity, I think what we should really fight is fornication. Because that really is that the biggest threat to the planet isn't fat people, but it's too many people.
If we only had a few fat people, we wouldn't care.
Right. Well, especially if we, you know, like the lions would take care of it.
Yeah, in the old days, for sure. If you
sure. I mean, if you're too fat to run, you're going to be the last one. You know, the lion doesn't chase the fastest one.
No.
Remember that joke about the two guys going out into the bush?
Yes.
And they said, are you worried about outrunning the bear? No, I'm just worried about outrunning you.
Yeah, that's right.
The thought is that the biggest threat to the planet is the infestation by humanity.
Yeah, too many people.
Too many people. We need to figure out how instead of having 14 children, we could just have a couple.
Right. Just moving back onto the anti-obesity track just for a second, there was another article I wanted to bring up that I just found, and it was anti-obesity drugs can make you fatter. Diet pills, which the manufacturers say can help shed those extra pounds, might be making you even fatter, experts have warned. The anti-obesity drugs sold over-the-counter cannot be a substitute for healthy living, they suggest. Selling anti-obesity drugs over-the-counter will perpetuate the myth that obesity can be fixed simply by popping a pill, the Professor Williams of Bristol University was saying. Also, I'm just totally taking the UK news here and putting it on our show. A healthy living is the only long-term escape from obesity, he added. Two drugs that assure weight loss are going on sale this week in Britain, and I guess that's part of the reason why they were talking about it.
They're the ultimate nonsense.
You can't take a pill to solve your problems.
No, you have to solve your problems by solving your problems.
Exactly.
Yes, folks, there really is no shortcut. War on drugs cannot be won as long as people want drugs. War on terror cannot be won as long as there are people who are desperate enough to want to be terrorists.
And are convinced that the best way to do it is to blow themselves up.
Yeah. You know, when there's no hope. I mean, if I grew up in the Gaza Strip. I don't know. Have you ever watched any news from the Gaza Strip?
I can't say I've watched news from it, but
like shots.
Yes.
I mean, it's like, I don't know what it is, 20 square kilometers or something like that. I don't know. It's not very big, and there are like 6 million people living or 3 million. I don't remember the number, but I watched the density. It's about as bad as Hong Kong or downtown New York, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just massive people with nowhere to go. Well, if I was growing up in that, I'd be desperate. Just about anything would be better than that.
Yeah.
I'd be ready to blow myself up, too. So I think it's the contraception that we need to start working on. Uh-oh, I think I may have offended some people by now.
Well, I kind of stuck as to any comment that I could make on that particular topic.
It's time to pull in and say, folks, this is the Earth Day. The planet Earth deserves to survive, and we need to behave on it as custodians, not as, what shall I call us, rapists, or what's a better word for that?
I thought that was a pretty good word, actually. I think we need to have respect, and certainly.
I think, yeah. You know, the word came to me. Sorry to interrupt you. The word came to me, and it's the word plunderer.
Plunderer, yeah, that's
plunderer. You know, when you come to resources and you treat them as something that you can plunder, you know, like you come and attack a neighbor's village. And you burn their cabins, and you steal their food, and you know,
women.
Take the women and kill the men. That's plundering.
Yeah.
Right. You don't consider them anything other than something you can take. When you come to a mine, or you know, you find something in the ground, you're gonna extract it without a second thought. That's plundering. When you cut down prime growth forest without any thought to what happens to everything else that depends on it, that's plundering. That's what we need to do. Step back and watch or think globally.
Yeah. And even if You know, and to me, it's also not about nothing, has really very little, if nothing, to do with whether, you know, there is or there isn't. To me, it doesn't matter if there is or there isn't, because some people will say, oh no, you know, if we can find evidence of this or we can find evidence of that. It's, you know, if you live in a house and you have a yard and there's garbage strewn all over your backyard, like, you probably will pick it up and clean it up because you want it to be nice, and you put, you know, you cut the lawn and all the rest because you have a certain amount of pride in your home. And I think, you know, this is our home and we need to have a certain amount of pride in it, regardless of whether, you know, you feel doing that will cause the ozone layer to go or not to go, or, you know, that's all not the issue to me. It's like, we should be looking after the place, and whether if there was no climate change and everyone said, oh yes, you know, the climate is all fine and everything's going to last forever, I think we still should be saying, you know what, we need to clean up our act and look after everything, even if there was no consequence, simply because we should be here as the custodians, and this is a place we're here to be responsible for, not irresponsible for.
Yes, I agree. Well, this is quite the sermon. I think we should stop while we're ahead.
Yeah.
If you're feeling guilty for being overweight, today is the first day of the rest of your life. You can change it.
And you don't need to be.
And if you're a skinny prick like myself, then you can start preaching to others from the high horse that you're upon.
I don't know if we can use that word on the... Well, fortunately...
of course. Oh, yes, we can.
Well, certainly not going to get edited.
The word prick really is a sharp, short object, sort of like a thorn. Something that you would irritate something else with.
I see.
Yeah. Okay. You can look it up in Webster's Dictionary.
Oh, they'll have the definition there for everybody.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate you taking time out of your day to spend it with us, and we certainly get a lot out of these talks that we have. And if you head over to lifeenthusiast.podomatic.com, you can listen to over 113 other conversations that we've had over the last few years, and on all sorts of topics relating to your health. And your health, of course, is the most important thing. So. And that's why we do it. Martin, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you and discuss some of these things in more detail, where could they go? What could they do?
I'm right here, 1-866-543-3388. Call me and tell me what you think of my liberal views. And on the website, www.life-enthusiast.com, where a lot of information has been gathered, many of these articles with full references, so that you can actually double and triple check that what we're telling the world is based on solid research, not just some mamby-pamby ideas that somebody thought out.
Exactly.
Cool. So there we are. This is Life Enthusiast Co-op, signing off once again, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye, everybody.